Hey guys, this week's episode of Horrible Decisions is brought to you by Adam and Eve. For a limited time only, you can get 50% off just about any one item. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs plus a free mystery gift. We all like mystery gifts. I know I do. I like any gift, for real, for real. And to top it all off, they're even going to throw in free shipping on your entire order. So go to adamandeve.com and use code WD50 at checkout. That is WD50. That is WD, the number 5 and the number 0 at adamandeve.com. Don't forget to use our code and let's get on with the show.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Welcome to Horrible Decisions.
You beat me to the goddamn mic.
I could do it sometime.
All right. Well, go
welcome
ahead.
To Horrible Decisions. My name is Weezy.
And it's your girl, Mandy, a.k.a. that bitch. That's all I'm going to say for now. Because y'all motherfuckers, we're actually going to talk about it for the kink of the week. I'm so sick of, like, even when I posted the guy that everyone apparently just keeps bringing up, everyone is assuming that now every guy I deal with, I peg. And I'm like, wait, but that's not the case.
I mean, it's technically your own fault.
But I like to do it. I'm into it. So for the kink of the week, it's going to be very interesting how we're going to talk about that.
Oh, I want to do a little preface. I'm sure you know from the title what we're going to talk about in this episode. And I want to apologize for the previous episode we had. We brought someone on that had HIV and... honestly, I think that I can only speak for myself. Sometimes I don't really consider the reach of our podcast and like how wrong Google can be. And I know how dumb that is now. So the two ladies that are sitting in front of us came with a bunch of papers. And it makes me feel like, wow, we like, really fucked up.
We just be Googling shit on this podcast.
I think we expected him to have a lot of answers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which and that was the thing, too. So for him, he was born with HIV. Right. So I feel like that it also delved into kind of a different experience from someone who may have lived, I don't want to say a normal life, but maybe a life without the disease. And then
became infected.
And then
later
became infected.
So he just knew how to, I guess, take care of it, right? He's like, I take this pill and I'm okay.
My mama had it, like, you know.
It's
so
just a normal.
It was definitely a different experience.
It's good that it's normalized because, you know, it is something that is normal, you know, like you, if you are infected with HIV, you can live a normal life. But like, you know, him not knowing the more clinical sides to things.
I think that was even my interest in interviewing him because I didn't, with a sex positive podcast, like I didn't want to, you know, maybe have so much of an episode where it's like, yeah, if you have sex, you're going to catch HIV and die and then AIDS and whatever. Like, so I didn't even want to have that kind of relationship. So anyways, we're sitting here talking. Guys, we are joined today with two special guests. We have Janelle and Omotayo. Boom, Omotayo. Damn, I was like, bitch, I got this. We gonna call her Omo, but we got Omo and Janelle.
Omo, are you homo?
Yeah, I mean...
Homo, are you homo?
Homo-ish.
Really?
Because she was talking about a girl.
I was talking queer.
Yo, that would be my fucking Twitter name. Straight
homo,
up.
Are you homo? That is
I
dope.
I like that. You can find me on Twitter. Prez Momo Baloney.
Yeah, no, we gotta Momo, do Homo, are you Homo? You gotta we gotta change your name, girl. And so I guess go ahead and introduce yourselves to our audience.
Okay. I'm Janelle, aka one half of the Nigerian Nightmares.
Yes,
that's also what we call each other.
Like, that's
what everyone knows each other as. Well, that's what everyone knows us as at work.
So. Okay. Were you born in Nigeria?
Or? No, I'm a African. She's full Nigerian.
You're a African?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Well, I'm 25% now that I spit in that tube and I claim Niger everywhere now. I'm like, just so you know, I've never been there, but I am.
Oh, okay, you're a Rasta.
Yeah,
star.
I've been there. It was interesting.
I heard that you were
Yes, I stayed like partying on Victoria Island, in Lucky Chevy. And yeah, it was an interesting experience. I'll say the least. I mean, I'm hoping that maybe over the years they do maybe allow more people to experience it. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's one of those countries where you do have to be invited. So yeah. because I travel so much, I wanted some sort of tourist feel, or maybe to see if we can go, like, let's do a tour. Bitch, no, they ain't got no goddamn tours in Nigeria. Right.
Like, everyone says go to Ghana first or go to South Africa. Yeah. And then.
So I did South Africa.
Nigeria is somewhere
before.
You have to go if you, like, know someone that has family. Like, I really want to go with my friends and have, like, a crazy Lagos, like, turn up experience. But I'm only going to be able to do that because, you know, I have family that lives
there. Because you have family that live there. So, yeah. So I'm excited. What do you guys do? I guess go ahead and let our audience know what you guys do and why y'all are here.
Okay, so we both work for the Ryan Health Network. I work at the Lower East Side location.
And
where is it? Yes, we're on, it's in Alphabet City. We're on East 3rd in between Avenue C and D. And our title is, like, we're sexual health educators. So we do HIV testing in, like, at the center and also in the community. Like, there's a huge mobile van that I have to drive in the summer. Like, we can test on the
van. So the ones that are just, like, parked on the streets and you can walk in and get tested?
Yeah, we'll go to West 4th or where else? Tompkins Square Park.
Have you ever been tested in a mobile van?
Yeah, I have. So they used to also bring them to our school. Yeah. I'm from Florida.
I remember that donating, but not testing, really.
No, they've done, well, I mean,
our
testing
van goes to, like, Queens College.
Yeah, I know they go to CUNY's.
So also at Lehman as well, yeah.
I did it at a music festival once. Like, so, funny story, when I did it, the friends that I were with, like, bitch, if you have it,
it's,
like,
gonna ruin your whole
experience.
Are we
gonna still stay here?
Right. We tried to get us to go to Afropunk.
Right. We were trying to finesse just so we could already be in Afropunk. Right. Like, we're trying to make it work.
Right.
For us,
let me tell you, when I did it, right? So, like, I'm waiting for the results for, like, 10 minutes, and the guy next to me keeps talking, like, yeah, so you're from Florida. That's great. Like, where? I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Right. I mean, yeah, like, that 20 minutes is, like, it could be really
nerve-wracking. It's scary. It's like you literally sit there and think of all types of interactions with people that you
and
had.
Everyone's always asking, how do you read the test? And I'm looking to see their lines, and I'm like, I'm not telling you how to read the test because I don't want you to freak out.
It's bad. And then when I got off the bus and was like confirmed to not have HIV, I carried that paper around and was like fucking raging.
Right.
What's up? You got yours?
Right. I always see people taking pictures of their results after, like, sending them to their base.
Social media, that's what you do.
Putting it on Instagram.
You know, on Instagram, I'm clean.
I mean, yeah, because we give letters, because it's like, you need to ask your partner for receipts, because anyone could just say, like, oh,
I want to talk about, I want to make sure you remind me for later, like, the conversation when you do have it, and you're in a mobile van.
Oh,
like,
that'll be,
how do you take someone aside?
You got to wait, girl. Just
I know, I said I want everybody to remember
remind
that question.
Because I like that question.
That's a good one.
So we're going to go ahead and start off kind of like how we did our episode with the individual who did have HIV, and this was, oh my God, what, episode 26? It was a while back.
Yeah.
It was in the short beginning of Horrible Decisions. So I wanted to maybe start off, this would be our icebreaker for this episode. I wanted to kind of debunk some of the myths associated with HIV. And one that I find to be probably the most interesting, which is why I always think I could catch it. I used to think, damn, I swallow cum.
Yeah.
So I can catch it if I swallow it. Nope. And then apparently you can't catch it.
So what he said was correct, that, like, that your stomach acids and the enzymes in there do, like, get rid of the virus. So it's hard to, you're not going to get it once it's in your digestive system. But it is true that, like, if you have a cut in your mouth and you swallow semen, there is a possible chance that you can.
Okay.
But like you said on the show, like, it's, like, really rare, like, one in 10,000. So, I mean, there's a chance, but it's not, like, super likely.
Okay, so that's good to know.
It's not considered high risk. And I hate talking about different types of sex in terms of risk, because I think that that kind of adds a stigma to certain types of sex. A lot of people, it's easy to get HIV through anal sex.
Because
and so people,
there's anal tears.
Right.
And
the tear out of tearing.
And so that's why a lot of people associate it with gay.
Gay.
Right.
Which sucks. Associate
we are
HIV.
Having a lot of us women. I mean, Weezy only likes the tip, but it's still anal sex.
Right. It's not that I like. I would love more dick. I just can't.
Even with a lot of lube?
Dude, I'm like, it's a...
You've tried the different
lubes. You walk around with fucking a tail out your ass, don't you?
But they're tiny.
Oh, those are cute.
She
the little,
butt, little
plugs.
Butt plugs with
those
hair like a horse.
Here's the thing.
Horse.
When they're slimmer, I can take it. But when, with the girth of, like, a real dick, I can't.
Right.
I could do the plugs. I could do the little things.
You could do the toys.
Maybe a smaller dick nigga.
But like a skinny pencil dick nigga?
Not a pencil dick.
I mean, wait, your butt plugs be pencil dick nigga. Like, they, be, like,
they look like a lot like easier. A slim, right. Vibrator. They really do.
Oh, you don't do those little ones.
Yeah, like the ones that start as like a triangle and get
wider. I can't believe, okay. I can't believe you bought Angela butt plugs for her birthday.
Why would I?
That's so on brand.
I mean, it
Michelle
is.
Hope got her a vibrator.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess I'm
doesn't
just
doesn't she talk about
one.
That on her show?
I'm from Horrible Decisions. You have a podcast called Lip Service. I can't get you butt plugs.
I bought her a Sephora gift card.
Well, that was classy. Of you,
I mean, yeah, I go the anal route. Classy with it, bitch. Wear makeup.
Some of those beauty blenders look like butt plugs. But.
They do. A lot of the beauty blenders look like butt plugs.
They fucking do. I love the shape of the beauty blender, and every time I look at it, because I have a lot of cute ones, my friend sends them to me, and I'm like,
cute butt plugs.
You're like,
I can't, and I just take the dick.
What do you want? An ugly butt plug?
I don't be butt plugging unless it's with a dick. Well, then they don't plug my dick.
You know I'm into the toys.
Shut up. Yeah, you be into the toys. So another one of the myths that I wanted to talk about, especially coming from Florida and us having a whole bunch of goddamn bugs, mm-hmm. I did at one point used to think that if a mosquito mm-hmm. bit someone with HIV and then came and bit me not shortly long after, that maybe there could be some sort of transmission of the virus that way.
Right.
That is also a myth, correct?
Yes. That's a myth. That's not true.
Not true. Okay.
Because HIV needs to, it's a host cell to live in to survive. So, like, it can only survive in CD4 cells, which are, like, the human cells. So, like, you know, even if a mosquito bites you, even if they get it, their stomach
gets. So animals can't contract.
They can't get HIV. So, like, there are different types of immunodeficiency viruses that other animals can get. Like, there's SIV, FIV, which is feline. Cats
rabies
can get.
Rabies and shit.
Yeah. Like, also, you know, animals could get STIs. Like, right. I don't know why, like, last week I decided to Google that, but.
Wait, there's sexually transmitted diseases for animals? We should have brought that up on the evolution episode.
Bitch, we didn't know what the fuck we be talking about.
I don't know what
we might look that up. Right. So, I would say I want to ask both of you, what is one of the myths that you hear the most often, and what is the answer to it? Like, what is one of the things that you hear the most regarding HIV?
Right off the top, there's a shelter across the street from our health center, a women's shelter. And so obviously it's a lot of women living in a general space. And then a lot of them are worried that if someone has period blood on the toilet and they sit on it, are they going to get HIV? I don't know. Like, I've heard that a lot.
Oh, okay.
But that's false. Like, you're not going to be able to contract from that way, because also by that point it's airborne. Yeah. So
it's hit the air and like it
like
dies.
Sperm and like getting pregnant.
Right.
What do you mean?
They're basically saying like you can't
because,
get pregnant.
Oh, right, because HIV, in order for it to survive, it needs to be inside of a cell.
Which is the same like when girls like the turkey baster thing is a myth, right? Like
you can turkey baste.
But I'm saying turkey basting is a total fucking thing that people do once they collect the sperm, right? And you can do it with your partner if you're mm-hmm. lesbian or whatever. What I'm talking about is men thinking like you throw your fucking condom in the trash can and like a girl's gonna like save it and try to get herself pregnant later and shit.
So that's what I was referring to, was them turkey basting out of the condom.
I mean,
if it's already
technically
airborne,
it's really
time sensitive.
It's very tight. If you get the condom as soon as the nigga put it into the trash and you freeze that.
So I guess that's where I would have that same question with HIV. Is there a time frame? If you're telling me there's a time frame with sperm and I'm thinking it's the same airborne rules, is there a time frame where technically you could by the period blood, if you sat on the seat and you had an open sore? Like, I know there's a whole lot that goes into it.
Right.
It's not like it can just touch you on your skin and then now you
have
it.
You need to have an open sore on your butt or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so many factors. That's just not something that I would be concerned about.
Okay, and then what's one of the myths that you hear the most?
Ooh, I mean, I don't think I hear, like, a lot of myths about HIV itself besides, you know, the regulars like, oh, you can get it from kissing or saliva or whatever, which is false. You can't get it that way. But I think one of the biggest myths that I encounter when I test people is that, you know, I always ask, oh, like, do you want to get an HIV test today? And a woman, you know, in her 50s will be like, oh, no, baby, I don't need one of those. And I'm like, why do you think that you need one? And she's like, oh, well, you know, I've been married for such and such so many years. And it's like the number of patients that I have who are women who have got infected by their partners, who, you know, didn't know that they'd been infected for years because, you know, they never thought to get tested. It's like, you don't know. And it's everyone's responsibility to be getting tested regularly, at least once a year.
Regardless, I was going to say, what's regular for being tested?
Right.
So if you're in a monogamous relationship, you need to at least go once a year.
And truly monogamous, because you know sometimes you're monogamous.
One way monogamous, but you don't know what your partner's doing. Right. But ideally, just definitely go once a year, and then if you can, go twice a year. And then if you have multiple partners, try to go every 3 months.
Damn,
you
know, gotta go every 3 months.
You could be years without getting tested and not knowing you have it. Like, I guess where I'm kind of confused is you know, we assume the second you get it and you find out you have it, you've got to jump on this and take care of it.
I mean, yeah.
How could it be years? Like, how does it live in your body? What kind of effects does it have while you're not getting treated for years?
So, I mean, okay. So in the first 2 weeks, the first 10 to 14 days after you've been infected with HIV, so the virus enters your body, a lot of people experience symptoms of what's known as acute HIV. So that's the time when acute triangle. Right. So the HIV virus is multiplying, dividing in your body, and you're starting to have a lot of immunological symptoms. So you might have inflammation, and a lot of people describe these symptoms as flu-like. So you're gonna the symptoms of the flu. You
don't
know,
tell me.
Runny nose. Persistent.
Every time, and we in the wintertime, a bitch got sinuses. Every time my goddamn ears start hurting, now I gotta go get tested.
But this is why it's actually a really good reason to bring it up now. It is the wintertime. A lot of people are getting the flu and they might have these symptoms and think, oh, well, it's nothing. But it's like, if you have these symptoms and 10 to 14 days ago you had unprotected sex with someone whose status you don't know, it's a good idea to get tested.
Go get tested.
We're not trying to scare anyone, but these are the facts.
So I need to get tested.
I'm sorry.
So this is going to go ahead and segue us into our vanilla shit. If you're listening to this episode, one of the reasons why I definitely chose to do this, hit up Janelle, even though Janelle been hitting us since 2018, y'all, and she saw me at Duce Palooza and was like, hi ma'am, we emailed, and I knew that, mind you, I'm drunk, I'm like, yeah,
yeah,
girl,
I'm gonna turn,
DM me. I know she didn't think I was going, so I said, girl, yeah, DM me, girl, I'm gonna bring you on.
I'm persistent.
Yes,
some people are persistent, it drives me crazy.
No, yeah, but she,
because y'all came at least with a nice email.
Your
like
email
that
was very professional, and I was like, oh yeah,
some niggas be like, yo, I got songs about sex, y'all gonna have me on? And then reply to their own shit and be like, hello,
look at my SoundCloud.
Hey, I'm,
I didn't know I could promote my mixtape on this.
Pretty great.
Next time, A&Rs.
No, we're not. That's my response. Sorry. So Janelle saw me at Duce Flues, and I was like, "Girl, we gonna bring you on." But one of the reasons why I definitely wanted to have this, conversation, as you guys know, I probably spent the last month every weekend in Atlanta for 2018, and I also used to live there, and so. There is now, the CDC has went ahead and put that Atlanta is now in an HIV epidemic. As far as they are now actually comparing Atlanta to third world countries, I did want to go ahead and say, I put here, it says that downtown Atlanta is as bad as Zimbabwe or Harare or Durban, said Dr. Carlos Del Rio, core director of Emory University's Center for AIDS Research. Another thing that I also saw was a recent study released by the CDC shows why funding is so critical. If you live in the Southeast, you're more likely to be diagnosed with HIV than any other part of the country. And in Georgia, the risk of diagnosis leaps to 1 in 51. And so I definitely wanted to bring this to the forefront because Atlanta is a city I hold so dear in my heart. And I do be fucking when I be in town. So
I was just going to say, we have a show on the 23rd, and I guess I'll stay home.
So we do have, again, our live show on February 23rd in Atlanta. But it's crazy to me.
I can make out, though, it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
I can make out and suck a dick.
And you can have sex. With a condom on.
Yeah, but
which I like condom dick, so I ain't worried about it. I ain't really worried.
Good.
Third world country in Atlanta. I'll pass.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'm just passing.
So I kind of wanted to bring this to you guys. You guys do a lot of, y'all have paperwork, goddamn, so stats are on lit. So can we go ahead and maybe delve into the epidemic that's happening in Atlanta, specifically in the African-American community? Right. And I do want to also focus that this is not only men ladies. This has it's not gender specific. This is for men and women. Of course, men do hold a higher risk because, like we mentioned earlier, with the anal sex. Mm-hmm. But like I do want to share with you guys, unfortunately, and I hate to discuss it, but there is a large download community in Atlanta, which is why women now face these same risks, because mm-hmm. the men that you are dealing with may or may not be open to letting you know that they have partners sex that are of the same sex. Mm-hmm. So if you guys
I mean, if we say that, then that's just kind of saying, like, all the gays are having it in Atlanta.
That's not what I said at all.
It's stigma.
It's right. stigma,
I don't
right.
say that,
but that's why I said it's...
I just feel like it's always so victim-blamey by, like, you know what I mean?
Right. I disagree. I think that that's why I worded it the way I did. I thought I did a fine job with, unfortunately,
I'm not saying you did wrong,
we do have men that aren't open to letting us know that they deal with other men because, unfortunately, we shame them for it. Mm-hmm. But like I was telling Omo in the... in the lobby, PrEP was something that I was considering at one point because mm-hmm. I do deal with men who have openly admitted that they have experimented or dealt with other men. Right. And so to me, it's not victim blaming at all, but me and those men have had those type of conversations mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So if we can delve into maybe some of the stats in Atlanta that you know or what's going on in Atlanta as to why this epidemic is happening.
I mean, so like as you said, like it's disproportionately affecting communities of color.
Right.
So, you know, Black and brown peoples. But, you know, in Atlanta specifically, it's obviously more African-American. And, you know, when you think about the HIV epidemic and how it works in the country, you know, it impacts people based on race and socioeconomic status, because then you can't have access to health care.
Yeah.
But then things like you mentioned, like homophobia and like stigma also are associated with that, because people, you know, who might be gay or queer questioning, like, might feel like, oh, well, I shouldn't get tested. You know, there's so much fear about getting tested in general.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when speaking about like the types of sex that carry a greater risk, that I say in quotation marks, you know, there's so much stigma associated with anal sex because of the fact that the risk of, you know, spreading HIV is higher. But in general, like, yeah. Obviously, there is a huge epidemic in Atlanta, but that epidemic mirrors so many other parts in the world and so many parts in this country where people right. don't have access to healthcare. So, you know, there was a huge epidemic in D.C.
I was about to say D.C.
Right.
as well.
And, you know, in New York, there is an HIV epidemic here. You know, the rate of new infections were rising, and now they're going down because of so many interventions, and that's part of, like,
and
the work
what you guys
that
do.
Janelle and I do. But,
and, yeah, because New York City has a 3-point plan to end the epidemic in 2020.
What's that?
So the three parts are, the first one is to get tested, because obviously you need to know your status. If
yeah.
you're positive, then you can be linked to services so that you're not spreading it to other people, and
okay.
you're taking antiretroviral medications so that you eventually get down to an undetectable level, and undetectable referring to your viral load. So once you're, and there's also something now, the CDC, I believe in 2017,
mm-hmm.
but they came up with U equals U, which means undetectable viral load equals untransmittable.
Right.
So you won't, your likelihood of passing it on to somebody else is...
Right. Which is why it's really important for people, when they do find out that they have HIV, to immediately get linked to care, to start taking their antiretroviral medications.
Okay.
Because when they're taking medication, they're keeping themselves healthy. And if you have an undetectable viral load, then you can't pass it on to other people. That's why it's
a daily pill, even for people that are undetectable?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a daily pill.
Once you're, if you're HIV positive, you're always going to be on medication.
Right.
And then the third part of the 3-point plan is PrEP. So
PrEP.
For all the people who are HIV negative, take PrEP. Or if you're in a relationship with someone who's positive, which is called, the scientific term is serodiscordant, but you can just say magnetic couple. Like,
one's positive, one's negative.
Okay. So if you guys are in a magnetic
like
couple, then the person who's negative should be on PrEP so that they're not going to contract it from their partner.
Right.
And the person who's positive, hopefully they're taking their medications
yeah.
and they're...
And again, that was something that we weren't able to really touch on much in our previous HIV episode
mm-hmm.
because he was born with the virus.
Right.
So PrEP would not have helped him. And so I do want to delve into that, into the horrible decision, especially
right.
considering I've read articles where they are trying to issue it in the AUC in Atlanta. So the CDC actually suggests...
the AUC?
Atlanta University Center. Okay. Like,
Morehouse,
which is like Morehouse, Spelman, Clark.
Oh, got it.
And so basically, they're suggesting, the CDC is suggesting that the youth start just taking PrEP like we fucking take vitamins, basically, in Atlanta.
So, like, sorry, I kind of like skipped around Atlanta, and I just wanted to get back to, you know, those stats. So, like, I was saying, like, it disproportionately affects, like, people of color. So it's like 73% of new infections are Black people. 81% of new infections are men. You know, and the majority, it's like 75% of new infections occur within the ages of 20 and 40. So, you know, like young people who are becoming infected, which is why I understand why, you know, AUC would want to give it out to college students, like their vitamins.
An intervention.
It is, absolutely. And then I also read as well, while she's throwing those stats around, I think it's important to remember as well that African Americans make up only 12% of the U.S. And something that I read is that 43% of HIV cases are African American.
Right.
Right.
So to know that is pretty staggering and unfortunate. We're going to delve more further into HIV, PrEP, some of the dope questions that Weezy has as well. But I kind of wanted to get into, you know, our kink of the week. So for the kink this week, I didn't really want to pick an actual kink. I think it's important that as we do kinks of the week, mind you, this is probably above episode 100, or it's somewhere in the 90s. We're fucking almost over 100 episodes at this point. But I wanted to discuss the difference between a kink and a fetish. So I think we talk about kinks a lot. And again, I guess I wanted to look into this because I refer to me enjoying pegging as more of a kink that I enjoy partaking in. So I wanted to let you guys know the difference real quick. A kink turns us on or is considered outside of the predetermined norm. For those of you who may have fetishes, fetishes are more so to where you don't want to engage in sex without having this. Of course, it also pertains to fantasies and things like that.
Really?
But yes.
So foot fetishes, people like they
that's
need
what
that.
They need that
to incorporate
so,
themselves.
So the feet.
So this is how they break it down. Kinks are like salt. They simply add to the flavor. Fetishes are like the food itself. Without them, there is no meal.
Oh,
I like that.
So there's a way to look at it.
So there are people who have foot kinks. I think I'm more
interested in that. I think there's kinks where, you know,
I don't know,
you're
because
looking.
I think you could have a lot of fetishes.
Well, you could have multiple fetishes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't do them all the time. Like,
I mean, but
you
for someone
to do
you,
all of them,
you would want to, though.
So then, like,
I think a better way to maybe word that, how I've always thought of fetishes, is something longer lasting than it is just one type of thing. Like, because kink to me is just one piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That you could try or something. Just like, I don't know, maybe a, like just calling it something, but a fetish is something that you have ownership to. Like, it's your thing.
Right. Part of your identity.
I like that too.
Like,
Like,
I have a fetish for BDSM, right? That's like, that's my jam. I would consider that a fetish. Yeah.
But you also, would you say for the most part, you're always in some sort of the fashion? BDSM, of course, is a wide range, but you're sub for the most part. Even without trying to be, you're in a sub state when you're having sex. So even though you're not going through the whole
realm of BDSM.
Not
always, but yeah, I'd say 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah. So like with me, I brought this up, of course, because of course, yeah, Peggy Bundy, y'all done gave me some great fucking nicknames, I will fucking say. Pegasaurus Rex, like I done heard it all. But for pegging, I will say even when it comes to my partners, I don't peg everyone. It's not needed. I will say when I'm vetting, I will say I do like, I would say BDSM is also probably my fetish, mm-hmm. but I'm more on the dominant side. And to me, having access to a man's butt makes me feel fucking in control and dominant as fuck, probably violating as well. But yeah, so like, but do I have to peg every partner that I have? No, like I've been fucking the guy 24/7 for 5 years. Never ever have pegged him.
That's so funny you're describing pegging this way. I just went on
as a kink.
I went on Interho Uprising and they wanted to talk to me about pegging and I did not describe it in a dominating way at all.
to me, it's very
That's
dominating.
So funny. I was having a conversation with someone about that. They were like, well, I feel like I would never want to peg someone because I like to be submissive. And I was like, have you ever had sex with a power bottom?
That's the problem. So, like, here's the thing. Like,
pegging, a power bottom.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can peg someone and be submissive.
Oh, yeah, he rolled my dick. I did have...
Right,
look,
you can have someone ride.
Saying it like that. I did have a nigga ride me, and that was... But right. that, I also felt like... It was me giving him a different type of, like, to me, pegging is, in the highest sense, a dominant.
So here's why I think that sometimes there's a catch-22 with this. Because for me, I'm a submissive person that enjoys giving people pleasure no matter how they enjoy it, right? Mm-hmm. We do sit here and say that, you know, so the issue that men have with pegging is giving up their masculinity, right?
Yeah, because which is some bullshit.
They think their masculinity is in their asshole.
So
that's
fragile.
Just the way it goes. So the problem with always describing it as, like, fucking the shit out of somebody in their ass or it being like dominating is that then men who are dominant won't be interested. So from my experiences with pegging, it's never really been like bent over shit. Mm-hmm. Like it's always started for me like the first few years I never really even knew the term until I watched Broad City was using toys like in their ass but never bent. Uh-huh. So once I actually had a strap on for my first time, it still wasn't bent. Like
were you on it was like missionary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, nah.
And that's what I'm saying.
That doesn't
same.
Feel
well and see that's probably why to me, like, I prefer get on all fours.
Right.
Like
so he
I
was
wanna
like,
see them bent right. over. In those type of positions, I would say, is probably again, that goes to my dominant side. Mm-hmm. But dominance, BDSM being
well,
more
yeah,
of a
because
fetish.
Being bent over, one person has control.
Yeah. I mean, so that's kind of
power bottom,
know,
eh.
Power bottom, I feel like when he was riding, he became a power bottom,
right.
even though he was on top. He
but
wasn't
then
on bottom.
He had
power
control,
bottom,
right?
Back.
Right.
Or the bottom.
Wait,
the bottom,
yeah, what's the bottom?
The bottom is the term we get, right? Top is someone that's giving the dick.
Insertive versus receptive, right.
There you go.
So, like, so if you
I like them terms. Look at you, Brandon. We be, like, taking and receiving, bitch.
Right.
You say receptive and
insertive.
Like,
so
there
when you
go.
Hear about power bottoms, it's normally someone that, quote, unquote, throws it back.
Right.
Oh, I be asking
or
you.
Or writing.
I like the throwing it back,
I'm definitely a power bottom.
Yeah. Even when, like, during missionary, I think I'm always, like, still fucking someone back.
But how are you submissive and a power bottom?
So I definitely can switch, right?
Okay.
But
that's
I think that
I
power bottom for okay. me is just not necessarily a dominant side because I know how to fuck somebody back.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, I could still, like, you could basically talk shit to me to make me fuck you back. You know what I mean?
See, like, it's crazy to me because, again, I feel like even the fucking back, I feel like plays back into my dominance. Like,
that's what I'm
like,
saying.
When I say I'm a
power bottom, I mean, like, I'm
even when a nigga, like,
the
fucking the shit
role.
Out of me, like, 24-7 is very dominant in the bed. He fucking fucks the goddamn shit out of me, literally. Mm-hmm. It don't be messy. Let me not say literally fuck the shit out of me. But, because we be talking about all of that shit, right? But
people are into that.
The dominance in me, like, while he's fucking me very, very hard is me taking the dick. And I sit here and pride myself in being able to take it all.
Okay.
Like, that, again, is my dominance part of it. Like, so even when I do say I'm a switch, I feel like thinking of it that way, I feel like at all times I like to feel like I'm in control. So me taking the dick is me being in control, mm-hmm. even if he feels like he's more in control.
Yeah, power bottom for me is just knowing I can fuck back. Like, because I don't
okay.
lay there. Especially, like, having a lot of threesomes or, like, fucking girls, whether it be toys or straps. Like, I've seen women that don't fuck back.
Yeah.
You know,
they just
kind of, like, bend
just
and wait.
Hello, princess.
Hello, princess. Look, y'all
We've
both
all
said
had
at the same
phase.
Time.
I'm a pillow princess when I'm drunk.
I'm only a pillow princess when I really don't want to fuck you like that.
Yeah.
And then
and
I don't
fine.
Know why I'm fucking you in real life. Like, what am I doing?
Like,
but
I
don't want to
come, but it's not you.
Yeah. It's
not like I didn't. It's not like I'm forced into fucking this dude. It's just like I just need to get off. Like,
or like sometimes you want to have sex, but you're thinking about somebody else.
Oh, I
and
do that
not
all
them.
The time.
God,
do you know how fucked
I
up
do
it
that
is?
All the time.
That's really bad.
Do you know how awful it is to sit here and fuck a nigga, and then as soon as y'all are done fucking, you texting the nigga that you wish. It was fucking.
I miss you.
I've done that, and I'd be like, "Is that not terrible?" Look, Weezy's like, "Bitch, why are you
when
admitting this shit?"
When I was fucking Beard Bay recently, I was talking about scissors, but he was into it. Like, I was like, "Damn, I wish I was eating some pussy right now." He was like, "Word," and he was like getting off at the shit.
But that's a girl. Like, I'm talking about me fucking a dick, wanting another dick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's a good point. I guess I wanted like
you
know
you
like a side of mash,
right?
And I didn't want a whole new steak.
There you go. That's okay. Exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. Well,
can you tell
I wanted to right. Again, to bring that up. I think we've had kink of the week since we've started this show, and I think it was very interesting when I saw that there is a difference between kink and fetish. And again, so I want y'all to know that pegging is my kink. I don't need it, but it's, you know, it's cool if I could get it. So now we're going to go ahead and get into our horrible decision. This is where I guess you can maybe even, we can delve back into, I guess I want to focus on prep for this, but also the testing that goes on, how you respond when you do get a positive result,
yeah,
which
I,
we
I
all don't
prep
want.
Is your thing, but mm-hmm. I find that, like, the most interesting thing for me when learning about, you know, new STDs and, like, how people deal with them, because I've been fortunate enough to where I've had partners. Luckily, I've never, you know, had it happen where I've had it too, but I've had partners I've had sex with text me and be like, I found out I got this or whatever. But I do want to know, when, you know, you're doing the mobile bus shit and someone has it, and how often does someone have it? Like, do you feel like you're doing, like, 5 out of 100? Like, oh, you feel like every question. Hour you're telling someone they have HIV?
Ooh,
like,
no,
definitely. Honestly, yeah. I feel like I only have
because
one
we hear
person.
The word epidemic, and you know what I'm saying? I feel like
right.
it's a play.
It makes it sound like yeah.
you
like
we all
bird
that.
Right?
Yeah. All that of that.
That's some bird box shit. That's
so
when I hear that word.
So we've been doing this work for, like, 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We started off as interns, and then that led to us working.
Yeah.
So we've been around this.
Okay.
And in my time, I feel like I've had 4, but honestly, they were all
really?
Like in 2017. So
really,
four out of how many that you've done?
That's God. A really long
yeah.
Time.
I don't
seriously,
know.
500, 1,000?
Probably not. A no, thousand.
Not definitely not 1,000, but hundreds of them.
Hundreds,
and
you've
only
4?
I've only had 4.
I just had someone,
and I hate. Like, I hate doing testing. It just because of the paperwork that we have
really
to do, not the actual
test. You've done hundreds and only 4 people. That's like less than 1%.
Right. But, well, so, I mean, I think.
So, how does the probability with that number that you just gave is someone that works there, especially in a neighborhood like Alphabet City?
Well, so.
She's
okay,
on the Upper West
I'm
Side.
I'm on the Upper West Side. Upper West. So, we have 6 locations, and Janelle's in the Lower East Side. I'm on.
Do you notice the difference
Columbus.
With certain neighborhoods?
Definitely. I mean, yeah. we also have a
Brooklyn, yeah. the Bronx.
Yeah,
course.
And then we have a site in Chelsea. So then for the prep patients there, they're primarily, it's white gay men. But for me, pretty much all of my patients are people of color.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, there's different demographics.
Right.
But I've only had 1 positive person. Like, even though I say that I've been working as an intern for about, like, 3-4 years here, I just started this position as a tester for about, like, a year and a half ago.
Damn, we should have made y'all bring
the
test.
So, we could have got
done
tested
test on air.
We could have done
air.
An air
bitch,
test.
We would have canceled this whole show. I'm telling you right now. I've made everybody in this room sign NDA.
Sign NDA.
Cameraman, engineer,
Lord.
These bitches, no offense, everybody.
Well, no, it's confidential, so, like, we're not allowed
I'm
to
sure.
tell, you know,
yeah.
anyone your
well,
results.
No, we would have done it right here on air. Damn, we should have did that.
That would have been cool.
That
yeah.
would have been cool.
Damn,
yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
even think of that.
Oh, I hate the
next
finger
time.
Prick.
Oh, it hurts.
It does.
Okay,
yeah.
so how
Quick
how
trick.
Was that experience? You sat here and you got someone who tested positive for HIV. Mm-hmm. What was, how did you tell them?
Okay, so
which,
I had
which,
a
by
really...
the way, pause. What? The fact that we want to be negative, normally positive is a good thing
yeah.
in
right.
life. So
you have it.
I think it's weird that It's backwards though.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
be
if
negative,
you're looking for a result and it's there, it's a positive result.
But see, that's I think part of it too that like New York City has like started to do this thing where it's called status neutral care, and like we don't care if you're positive or if you're negative. You know, like either result is a good result because you know if you're positive, then
you
know okay, got to take this medication. Gonna take
it is
cute, and I like that because you know it's not a death sentence, and you know HIV has gotten to the point where it's kind of like any other chronic health condition, diabetes, healthcare, people who are healthcare, heart disease, sorry,
right.
People who have HIV are living long, long lives, and they're dying of other things like cancer, not related to their HIV,
right.
or you know.
Right.
You know, because related to their obesity.
It's just an everyday
right.
thing.
Right, it's an everyday thing that if you're taking this vitamin, but it's, you know, your medication, your life-saving medication, then you are living a normal, normal life.
Okay, so let's get back to
but
this
back
story,
to this
ma'am.
Story.
Okay, I gotta hear this.
I have a really interesting story. Okay, so first off, it was during, I do a lot of testing on the weekends, and we were at a church in the Bronx. So it was mostly everyone there spoke Spanish, and they were undocumented. And so I went with my coworker. She speaks fluent Spanish. I can get around. Like, so I just printed out all of the questions in Spanish. Like, I know enough. I'm like, so I wanted to practice because
how do you say
LES.
HIV in Spanish?
VIH.
So look, like, hello.
Oh, this one is she knows Spanish. I know a little bit. Okay. But so I just wrote out all the questions in Spanish. So my coworker and I, these are people who typically don't go they're not getting regular health care services.
Right.
Because they don't have insurance because they're undocumented.
So it's really important for them to come to this event. So we must have tested like 10, 11 people each that day. So and we're doing back to back to back, like barely got breaks. And it's like I don't mind it because I'm like, I want to do this. Like, I know I'm helping.
Fingers
so
or the vial?
The finger prick. Always finger prick. So this is like my last patient. We're about to be done for the day. They made us food. Like, I was looking forward to the food. Like, they've been home cooked. Because I was hungry now.
You wanted the rice and beans and
my
penny,
mouth
huh?
was dry. Right. Like, hey. I've been talking. And it was a lot. And it was funny because the people, they were trying to learn English and I was trying to practice my Spanish, but we were getting through it. And so
like
this is my last
90 Day Fiancé.
I love that show.
Me too.
So this was my last patient, and then I saw that her test came up positive. She was married. I think she was from Mexican. She had two kids. Everyone was there. So I had the wife, and my coworker had the husband, and the kids are just waiting in the little common area playing. And so I see a positive. I see the line because we're able to tell if you're positive because you can see like a line. Another line will show up. I kind of wish we brought test.
That would have been cool.
I know.
But anyways,
it's okay too. They could, many
we don't want people to be
you,
too
so
educated
whatever.
Though, right. So that they would be like, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, so I see that she has a positive test result, and I'm like, you know, based on the questions and what she's saying, she's been married. They, you know, most married people are not using condoms, but she didn't say she had any other partners. So I'm like, is this? So then, I mean, I'm also starting to freak out because I don't know Spanish that well. And so we have a language barrier, and I'm just like...
How do you tell someone that they have HIV? This happened to me the other day, but, like, the lady spoke not Spanish.
Haitian Creole.
Haitian Creole. So I was like... I don't know what to say.
We have like language hotlines, so it's not like we're just.
Okay. You telling me you do a test for someone, you gotta be like, once talk to them.
They got something. Google Translate, because I've done that before.
Wait, like, you done Google Translate with results?
Yes. Yeah, and like, doing the encounter, like asking how many people did you have sex with, like, and all of that.
No, I'm gonna type it.
I type it.
Oh, so did you let them read it on your phone?
No, I type it and then I press the thing that says it. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I've had to do that like in the center, and then I just type it. Like some stuff. Like, because I can get by to like how many people live with you and like the questions that they ask some of them, but for the ones I didn't know, I just typed it and we got through it. So anyway, so her test results positive and I'm starting to freak out because I'm like, how am I gonna tell her? Obviously
it
was I know
her
how to
first
say
one.
Positive. Yeah, this is my first one also. So I went to go get my coworker and then she looked at me because she's like, the husband's positive too. So we were like, oh.
So what did the husband say? Like,
I didn't really even see him or his reaction, but it turns out so the wife contracted it from the husband, and
which is typical.
How do you know that? She ended up telling us, but I'll get into that. So she contracted it from her husband, and this brings up a bigger issue of they were both undocumented, so they probably didn't receive proper health care and proper education about the disease. So I don't, for some reason, the wife thought that. Even though she knew she was positive, for some reason, she was just trying to test to see, is it going to come up positive? I'm taking my medication. Are you going to be able to tell from that
oh,
I'm
so
HIV
she
positive?
Knew she was positive
she
and
knew
she was on
positive.
Medication.
She was
did
on
guys,
and off.
Did you guys test the kids?
No, we didn't test the kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, would you suggest if someone has HIV and they're living with kids, like you're not... You know what I mean? Like, it's not a sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. At that point, should kids be taking medicine? How would that work?
I think
roommates.
If
like,
the mother was not tested before having the child, then for sure I would test those kids. And since they're undocumented, we're not really sure like what type of healthcare they were receiving. I would probably suggest that those kids be tested. But in the U.S., like all pregnant women receive an HIV test.
Right.
Like, you know, that's like just part of the standard care.
Yeah. But I want to delve into this because it's not only with pregnant women, but a lot of times any woman who's undergoing any type of surgery. So I just had a weight loss surgery. Mm-hmm. And because HIV does affect the white blood cell count, they tested me for just about everything because that would dictate how I healed after surgery. So if any woman, whether you're getting like your tonsils, like maybe not tonsils removed, but any type of surgery where you're going to be hospitalized or put under anesthesia or where they're cutting into you, of course, is very important. You'll be tested for HIV in the hospital as
well.
What
are the ways you can get HIV that isn't sex?
Okay, so yeah, I wanted to get into that too because there are 6 different fluids from which you can contract HIV.
Because I was like tattoos
HIV.
Or something, you know?
Right. So it's breast milk, blood, semen, pre-cum. So they call it seminal fluid and then pre-seminal fluid, vaginal fluid, and rectal fluid.
But right? Wait, so that 6. Aren't sex though.
Okay, right.
So like, can you
so that
tell us
aren't
them?
Sex would be
breast milk
right. mother to child blood. Transmission. Also, like when the mother is having the baby, like that blood, there's a lot of blood going on there. That's another way that the mother can transmit it to the child.
Which breast is milk doesn't surprise me because I don't know if y'all be drinking milk, which there's pus and blood and milk.
I've watched my friends. Like,
that shit is disgusting.
They're so swole. I mean, it's not disgusting.
Thank God we're lactose. We're the only mammals that drink other mammals' milk.
Yeah.
It's fucking disgusting.
Nut milk 2019.
Even my ice cream be lactose.
I stopped drinking regular milk, but...
Same.
Oh, I thought I meant like breast milk, like just watching it like come out and shit like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, bro.
So I guess it's what you were
asking,
alluding
like,
to
which forms?
Would be, so I know that the HIV epidemic in New York happened specifically in the 80s because of the drug epidemic that happened. Right. So of course, dirty needles. So that's maybe the tattoo that we brought up. Like if you get tatted with dirty needles that were used on
or
an
sharing
affected person.
Needles.
So I guess I want to ask too then.
That's why.
Would that not be airborne? Would it not be able to get off of the needle? Like, how does that...
Well, I know with in terms of like syringes, if you're that's how a lot of people were contracting
right now. You.
Yeah, so then that's why there's a lot of needle exchange programs and people can go exchange their dirty needles called works. And
I heard some cool things about Market Street in San Fran. So I was born in San Fran and went to go just like kind of revisit, see family and like different places like where I grew up. And while I was there, on Market Street, right? This is where, like, Bloomingdale's is. It's, like, the most, I don't know if you guys have been, but, like, a bougie, like, neighborhood in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Also, where the most drugs are sold and done, right? Kind of like Atlanta, where it's, like, one pretty block and then one shitty block.
Mm-hmm. Is that New York, too?
I was about to say, that's New York, bitch.
Well, I think New York, I don't think there's just really I've never seen, like, a gorgeous block where you can't see a homeless man. Like, I've never felt like I've been.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never been to an area where I feel like this will just not happen. But yeah.
I mean, in Queens, far out, maybe not on the island, like, but if you go to Queens, there's some nice.
Upper East Side.
Maybe.
No, Upper East Side, there are homeless people.
Cracked out people. Like, yeah. I don't know.
The projects are like right across the street.
I was about to say,
like,
there's
the
projects
nice
right across, like, that just haven't
but
been
But this block, like, no lie. Like, I was at a fucking Ritz, and it was like, really, like I was shy. I'd never seen something like this. Not from like 0 to 100. Like, turn the block, and like, I never saw someone shoot up in the street. Multiple people shooting up, like that really like was jarring.
Yeah.
So come to find out, I'm talking to someone at the bar there later that day at the hotel, and he's like, yeah, like the way it works is they have these safe zones where people can't get arrested. But the big deal with the safe zones to stop the HIV epidemic is there are people to distribute safe needles.
Yeah.
So they're basically so worried about the virus spreading that, like, cops can't come to you here. You can come get your needles here
and you can shoot
up.
Yeah.
I wonder if
and
that's
also,
kind of how in L.A. So they have, what is this? I don't want to call it death row. Yeah. You know, I thought it was like camp row or some shit
Skid
like
row.
That.
Skid row.
There we go. Here I go, death row. I ain't shit.
Death row record.
But whatever, it's something like that. But all the homeless people where they also don't get in trouble for living in these tents in L.A., I wonder if they do anything like that around there.
I'm sure they do. Needle exchange programs are like really... you know, are a huge part of harm reduction. And so, like, along with HIV, honestly, injection drug transmission, so like sharing needles. HIV, like, of course, is a huge concern, but the bigger concern with that is actually Hep C, hepatitis C.
Hepatitis C.
That, you know, affects your liver, and, you know, once your liver is messed up,
yeah, that's now, your whole... Now, do we not take those shots in school?
So you can get hepatitis A and B, but not C.
Oh,
right,
okay.
Right.
I'm like, which, I know we got some right. shots.
So can you get C from fucking?
Yes, you can, but it's actually, it's more rare than HIV. Okay. So, right, so HIV is easier to get through sex, and Hep C is not as easy to get through sex, like, but then on the opposite end, Hep C is very easy to transmit through, like, sharing needles, and yeah. HIV okay. is a little less likely.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I think...
But they're, like, you can be... A lot of people are co-infected, which means they have both so at the same time, and that causes a lot of complications with, you know, like...
Depressed.
Just, like, the body and...
Can you tell us about like, a night job?
We do have a. I mean,
tell us about the people you save.
We came to. We
okay,
right. My energy level is getting really low about right now. Like, I feel fucked up after this.
No,
I'm sorry. No,
no, no. You guys are doing a great thing, but like, I'm getting sad.
We're gonna turn it around. So,
we got a song.
No,
no.
Oh, I wish. No.
Like the Family Guy AIDS.
Oh no! Like the.
Do you know what that is, Mandy?
No. What's the Family Guy?
Can you put a note? I want to put the clip in for the Family Guy, You've Got AIDS song.
I like vaguely remember that.
I know what you're talking about.
So, like, they were trying to find this nice way to tell a patient they had AIDS or something, and so they like did this whole song and dance, and the guy's like in the hospital like, it's not HIV but full-blown AIDS, like that.
I got a knack for delivering bad news.
I don't know how to tell you this, Mr. Devaney, so I'll let these guys do it.
You have AIDS.
Yes, you have AIDS.
I hate to tell you, boy, that you have AIDS.
You've got the AIDS.
You may have caught it when you stuck that filthy needle in here.
Or maybe all that unprotected sex put you here.
It isn't clear, but what we're certain of is you have AIDS.
Yes, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Be sure that you see that this is not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
It's not HIV, but really full-blown AIDS.
I'm sorry, I wish it was something less serious.
But it's AIDS. You've got the AIDS.
It's, I mean, to find out that you have HIV, like I said before, could be a really good thing because then you can take care of yourself with medication.
You, might start going
you brought
to,
this
to
up, which is what
now,
I wanted to bring up. So I guess there's a lot of, and this can tie in the end of it. Mm-hmm. So the difference between HIV and AIDS, and does yes. HIV become AIDS, and AIDS, can you skip HIV and go straight to AIDS? How does that work? Because Eazy-E just got AIDS out of nowhere and died like 2 months
right.
later.
Okay.
But apparently you know.
Right, but then that was also like that time period.
I'm,
right. so,
I'm just laughing because I said, "Oh my god, do you want to take this over? Do you want me to do this?" Because
what
they're both figuring out who's gonna break this down.
Right. I mean, we can take turns.
Let's start okay, with cool. HIV. You be HIV. You be AIDS.
Wait, okay. can we not turn them into HIV and AIDS?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
That was awful.
You be Ocho E. What was it again?
VIH.
VIH and
SIDA.
SIDA. Okay. So HIV stands for human, which means it's only in humans. Immunodeficiency, which means it affects your immune system. Your immune system are all the cells that are kind of like little soldiers in your body to protect you from outside invaders like bacteria and viruses and, you know, bad stuff, pathogens.
Unfortunately, virus. Not fuck niggas, but
right, and not
else.
That. And then virus, which means that it's a virus, which means that it needs to live inside of a cell in order to live. And so the cells that the HIV virus lives in are the CD4 cells, which are a form of T cell in your body.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
That does
so human is the H. That's why the HPV is human papilloma.
Human papilloma, right.
And with a virus, you will always have a virus.
Right.
And so when, back to that patient that I had, we had to explain to her, you're always going to be positive.
Right.
So
is herpes a virus?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then with AIDS, so that's acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. So that's, it's basically like in if you want to think about it this way, like someone had HIV, they weren't intervening, they didn't receive antiretroviral. The virus kept making copies, and now
became bigger.
How fast can that happen?
It took over your system.
How long does that process take between
HIV
and AIDS?
So it takes about 10 years for, if you are untreated.
10 years?
Yeah, but for some people, Jesus. It can take longer.
But no, that's promising because that means that like you have some time if you don't get tested, and okay.
Right.
So it's why it's important to definitely get on
tested.
Medication.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Once you get on, like, what are the probability of what is the probability of dying once you have AIDS?
Quick.
I mean, yeah,
die.
Because now your immune system is so compromised, and most people don't. You don't die of AIDS. You die of an AIDS related
right
complication.
Disease.
Exactly.
Like
that,
it could be pneumonia or
right.
The flu, a common cold.
Right. So once you have AIDS, so AIDS is sort of like a classification. It's a diagnosis, and once you get an AIDS diagnosis, you never lose that diagnosis like from your medical chart. And so like the things that kind of classify you as having AIDS would be having like an AIDS defining illness like Kaposi, sarcoma, like different types of rare cancers, or just simply like if your CD4 count is less than 200. That means that you don't have a lot of viral cells, or sorry, you don't have a lot of cells protecting you in your immune system.
Okay.
Y'all broke it down quick.
I'll be honest with you, like I just got tested and a finger prick. A few weeks ago we recorded that episode. I just want to get it again. I'm scared.
Right, y'all said. Well, and that was actually one of my new.
Well, have you had unprotected sex?
No, I'm still scared, dude.
Okay,
yeah. Girl, do you if know you... what type of show this is?
Y'all want to ask? Come on, can
I'm
you ask
like,
that?
Oh, can I ask?
Well, I mean, I know you
pies.
Can ask us personal questions, but then I felt like
we
weird,
be
letting
y'all know. We just had a whole episode where we talked about our goddamn abortions, and y'all sitting here talking about, can we ask?
Yeah. No, I haven't had unprotected sex since then. I haven't had unprotected sex in a while. I have with a woman, but.
It's like female to female transmission is very low. So
and you be liking scissoring, but that's like pussy juices.
And I mean, bringing up women, so a lot of the times when people think of HIV, they're only thinking of men and men having sex with men typically. And women, especially black women, are often left out of the conversation, which is how so a fun part of our job, let's lighten the mood.
Is
to talk about sipping and spilling. So
I feel like I'm going to die listening to this.
You're not going to sipping and spilling.
Right. So that's what we took over now after, I have to shout her name out. Her name is Zakiya Robinson. But she was also an intern with us, and she wanted to start doing these events to just empower black women to take control of their sexual health. And
nice.
So then after when she finished her internship, we were asked to take it on, and we just made it more sex positive, more inclusive.
Do you guys do testing there?
We don't do testing there, but we're looking into that for
because,
future events.
You know, we've had... alcohol some of the events. So
it's like a wind down, like Issa Rae, like the wind down. So we make it a fun way to talk about sex. And
that does sound fun.
Yeah. Right. For our last event, you guys can come to the next one if you want. But for the last one, we had Sam from Interhole Uprising. She was our moderator. So then we had people submit questions, like relationship questions. And then we just snuck little prep and pep and HIV testing related questions.
PrEP,
that we
PEP.
Had.
Can you describe two differences with those?
Yes.
Okay. So PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. That means it's a pill that you take before you come into contact with HIV. So it's something that you have to take every single day, like around the same time every day. It's kind of like birth control, but for HIV.
Yeah. Right. Friend of mine, Vinny, he's been on our show. He just started taking PrEP, and he was like, yo, my body, like, ugh. He's like, I just can't wait for it to get in my system because it feels so weird this week.
So, yeah, a lot of people, I think it's like only like 20% of people, though, really experience side effects. And like the side effects are like nausea, vomiting.
Someone asked.
Diarrhea.
Yeah.
Some people said weight loss. I said, I wish.
So here's the thing that I wanted to ask pertaining to PrEP. So going to Nigeria, I had to get the yellow fever vaccine. Everyone knows of the flu vaccine during around this time of year. And so to me, what I learned with vaccines is that what it actually does is it infects your body with the virus so that your body can then fight the virus off, which is weird as fuck to me.
It's kind of like, you know, I'm sure in the military and stuff, the soldiers, they be doing like practice or whatever. It's kind of like that. So they give you a little bit of virus. They don't, and not all the time they give you the full virus. In a lot of cases, they just give you like pieces of the virus chopped up so your body can kind of see prep, oh, that's what it looks
prep
like.
Prep doesn't do that, right?
Prep doesn't do that.
It's not putting HIV into our body.
Prep is not putting HIV into your body. Prep has two medications, emtricitabine and tenofovir. These medications are, they basically stop reverse transcription. I'm getting really medical.
Right.
But basically,
it's just a part of
it stops it.
It stops the medication from dividing. Or sorry, it stops the virus from dividing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Exactly. Now, it has been around. I know I heard about it in 2014.
So PrEP has been.
I feel like I've just recently heard of PrEP the last 2 years.
So PrEP was FDA. Truvada as PrEP was FDA approved in 2012. But before that, Truvada, the medication itself, was FDA approved and has been around since like the 2000s.
So why do we always see PrEP with
Truvada?
Oh, with men. Now the commercials, they try to show. They had a trans man.
But like, why is it, but still, trans
because
women.
Because it was just being advertised to men. And then they realized, like, okay, this isn't working. And also, we need to have commercials.
But I meant to ask that question. Like, is it stronger in men and not women? Like,
so it's not. So basically, you know, a lot of municipalities, New York, D.C., Atlanta, they were saying, like, there's this huge HIV epidemic. It's affecting a lot of men. It's affecting a lot of young men. It's affecting a lot of young
black
and brown men. And, you know, it's true now that, like, if current epidemic rates continue, that, like, the lifetime risk of HIV infection for young black men is 1 in 2. For Latino men who have is 1 in 4.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. For men who have sex with men, I'm sorry, not just like heterosexual men or all men, but it's for men who have sex with men, the lifetime risk of getting HIV is 1 in 2. That's really, really scary, you know?
It is.
And so they were looking at these statistics and they were like, well, we need to do something about it. And so they were trying to, like, you know, pass out PrEP like it's vitamins. And I don't necessarily agree with that because, you know, there's
to make sure that you want to.
Right. And there's a long history of, you know.
Why not just take it and take it? What do you mean?
Because with PrEP, you need to take it daily. So you need to, that's what's called adherence.
Like a birth control.
Sure,
yeah.
Right. It's only going to work like birth control. We always say that, like, this is like birth control. It's only going to work if you take it.
If you take it when you're supposed to take
it.
But
also, like, people who aren't adherent to PrEP, if they're not taking enough of the medication and then they come into contact with the virus and they become infected, then the virus, but they're still taking a little bit of Truvada, but they're not taking, like, enough medication to like for treatment purposes, then the virus can become smart and kind of get used to like Truvada, and then it can become resistant to Truvada.
Because I was going to ask, it evolves. Like, do you have to up the milligrams and shit like that?
So Truvada, the two medications in Truvada,
it's combined. So it's like 200 to 300 milligrams. Like, I'll see that in.
So, but if you've been taking PrEP for like 2 years, you don't need to bump it up?
No.
Okay.
But Truvada in and of itself, which is the only medication that is FDA approved for PrEP, purposes, like PrEP is just kind of like birth control. It's like the umbrella term, and then Truvada is like a form of PrEP. It's the only form of PrEP that we have now.
Right.
They're working on other forms. They are coming out with it, like a gel, a lube, an injectable.
Do you guys happen to know like cities or countries with the lowest rates of HIV, just so we know where to travel?
Oh,
I don't expect it. I mean, like,
it's probably in the Midwest where nobody lives.
I mean, but I think that's where you would be surprised that, like,
then also, you know, then we have
well, they
the
voted for
Bible Belt,
Trump, so they're pretty dumb over there.
We have a lot of other factors.
There was a map that I saw. I did want to go ahead and before we get into our home mail, for individuals who may think that this is really pricey, that's a conversation a lot, that this costs so much. Mm-hmm. You know, reasons why, you know, Magic Johnson is able to live because he can afford it. I was talking to Omo prior to recording, and she actually said that it is free or very low cost to anyone with insurance, mm-hmm. Medicaid, Medicare, they cover it. And then how much would it be on the high end if you don't have insurance?
So if you don't have insurance, you don't qualify for any assistance programs. and you can't get it from like a study, because a lot of studies are, you know, doing prep studies are giving you the prep for free.
I heard that.
If, you know, if you can't get it any of those other ways, then it's $1,500 out of pocket.
A month,
yeah.
Okay.
Which is very pricey.
But most people qualify
for some sort of assistance.
Right. The pharmaceutical company, they have a coupon, like a copay coupon for people who have private insurance. And then if you have Medicaid, you're good.
The manufacturer of the drug, they also offer like a program where they cover the cost of the drug completely. You get it for free as long as you make like under $58,000 a year.
There was some prep
I'm sorry to interrupt, but
just thinking of the price. Like, so I went to Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I bought probably 20 inhalers. They're only $2. Oh, and wow. It's not necessarily that I need 20, but I always notice like there's so many instances where I went to Denver to visit Dub, forgot my inhaler. It was so difficult to have a doctor write me that script, get me the inhaler. So I had to go on this website, tell a doc, find someone to call me, pay $50 for that appointment just to get the inhaler. Like, it was ridiculous. So, just for albuterol, just oxygen to breathe.
Right.
So I bought all these inhalers so I could have them. Viagra, I noticed, was another thing my friends were asking me to buy. And then the next one I saw that people were buying like crazy there was PrEP.
Yeah.
But what was interesting about PrEP in Mexico is like this guy behind me in line asked for it. And she's like writing down something on this paper and hands it to him. And there was a place for people to go get it. So I don't even know if they sell it in their pharmacies, but like,
oh, wow. That might have been drugs, bro.
Sounds like Dallas Buyers Club.
No, I think it's just a place to like.
I think they use PrEP as a name for another type of drug down there.
No. Just like Xanax, there are certain prescriptions in Mexico that do require prescriptions. So most don't, which is why people love buying Viagra or Phentermine there. But PrEP, I do think, may have a prescription, and the guy really needed it or wanted it, and so she gave him a place to go get it.
Oh, wow. I mean, I feel like if I was in Mexico, I was using PrEP for the purposes of HIV prevention, which is really the only reason why you would be taking it, I would want to make sure that it was actually PrEP.
PrEP, yeah.
You know, because sometimes you go to other countries and their pharmaceutical industry isn't as regulated, and sometimes the drugs aren't as effective. They might be expired, blah, blah, blah. Like, right. I would want to make sure
I know
that I was getting
that
the real
about
deal.
The medicine I bought. So I bought a little bit of birth control there, too, because it was like $1. And then I was, like, checking the packs, and one of them expired in a month.
Right.
And she was like, oh, you take now. That, I'm sorry. That was not a Mexican accent. That was an Asian accent.
Oh, she just accents all the time.
She does.
Look, I live in borderline Chinatown, Asian, so it's like kind of always in my brain.
So
I did pull up that map though. Mm. So it looks like 52%, and this is a .gov, by the way. Mm-hmm. So we're not just Googling again, guys. The South makes up 52% of new HIV cases.
Yes,
and it looks like Georgia's the highest, then Florida, then Louisiana. Some of the lowest that I see,
probably Utah or something. DC is high as fuck.
Looks like Utah, Wyoming is 1.7, the lowest.
Midwest, bro.
Let's see what else. California.
But do you want to go there?
Yeah, right.
Arkansas. Samoa has, it's like zero.
Who?
Samoan Islands, somewhat.
Oh.
But my thing is, like, why be worried about the map when we know that, like, condoms are so effective?
Oh,
do you know
I'm
what
not
mean?
Just saying that, but I am curious to know is, like,
yeah, that's
where
true.
But, you know, where it's spreading the least.
I want to go ahead and get into our home mail now. Before we get into the home mail, can you guys please read your shirt? Because I think it's awesome. And I think this is also why I chose this.
We want to shout out Kayla Robinson from Greenbox Shop. Hey.
Send us free stuff.
Hey.
we have the Why Be Racist, Sexist, Homophobic, or Transphobic When You Could Just Be Quiet shirts on. The one that Frank Ocean wore at like Panorama.
And then that's when she blew up.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, Kayla, thank you. I did not know your name or Instagram. Kayla, I just said to these girls and they walked in, I'm like, I feel like I have a shirt like this. And she came to the Zozo Talk in Miami and handed me some shirts. I've been wearing them. And I'm like, I don't know who to tag.
Yeah. Greenbox Shop.
I think they're super dope.
So thank you, Greenbox Shop. You guys check them out.
So the home mail for this week, by the way, guys, if you guys want to send in your home mail, you can email us at horribledecisions@gmail.com. So it says, what's up, fam? I love the podcast. Mandy, I appreciate your organization. And Weezy, I admire your perspective. Together, you guys make a dope team. Okay, so to the meat. I met this Sag off Tinder.
Oh, no.
Let's call her Sour Patch. I mean, she was right. The right mix of feminine and masculine energy. Sweet pussy. I couldn't ask for anything more. We've been talking for just a few months, but the chemistry was undeniable. She's from another state, so she flew in for the weekend. We've seen each other on 4 occasions now. Shit, I thought we had a great time. Art exhibit, movies, pool. I mean, we was chilling. Backstory. I'm married, currently separated, living in a different state for the last 6 months, and she's been single for 5 years. I probably could have started with that, huh? Anyway, so on the last night, I ask her, do you see this going anywhere? Her reply was some nigga shit.
Ooh.
She said, I'm here with you, enjoying our time.
Oh, no.
I expressed that I just wanted to...
Is she light-skinned?
Right. Right. That's all it is. I expressed that I just wanted to match where she is, continue to get to know her, but I just don't know what's doing too much or saying too much. I haven't been single in a long time. I thought she understood. Hindsight, I know she was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. That night ended in cuddles. Then when I dropped her off at the airport, the hug was long and the kiss was sweet. Aww. She let me know when she got back. The next day, I didn't hear anything, which is normal behavior from her. I wasn't tripping. I just saw her. The following day, I'm blocked on social media, and she blocked my number. Oh, no warning, no nothing. I'm actually writing this on day two of her ghosting. She's not coming back. I'm not going to lie. It took me back a little, like finding out you got stung by a bee while you was trying to enjoy an ice cream cone. During her visit, we made plans together to come to the live show in Atlanta. I have 2 tickets and now no date.
I think this girl wrote me. She was like, yo, can I turn my ticket in for VIP? Yes, you can. I don't know your name.
Yes. She wants to take a picture with us.
Whoever's at the door, go up and be like, I'm the whole male. And then
sincerely, newly ghosted. And then I think it's so I thought it was just an interesting letter that she sent in. Of course, honey, go ahead and holler at us. It's cold. It's a cold, cold world. But I think it's interesting. And it just made me think that I don't think a lot of us say what we want in the beginning of things, and yeah. We let things roll, and when things start getting good, maybe we do start applying pressure to situations where the other person isn't wanting pressure, the other person doesn't want a relationship, and they're just enjoying your company. Yeah. But unfortunately, when we enjoy someone's company, now we just want to be with them, and right. It's like, can we be with you now? Do we match? Are we going to be married? Like, can you be my girlfriend? Can you be my boyfriend? And unfortunately, it does kind of scare people away, often more times than not. So thank you for your home mail. Wanted to just read that. I thought it was interesting. And we will be seeing you in Atlanta, honey. Just know that. So before we...
You'll be the new person there.
Yeah. Oh, there's a ton of people. I did want to say that.
Gay as fuck at our show.
Where?
In Atlanta. Like,
dog, yeah, they all great. Be trying to eat Weezy pussy. Like, they be going up on the
Black
mic.
Pride.
Like, so, well, our fucking Horrible Decisions shows are fucking
I'm gonna be
Black Pride.
Honestly, I haven't had like one live show I've done in the last 4 live shows. Or any kind of Q&A I've done where someone hasn't asked to fuck me on the mic.
Either on the mic? With their partners. Oh, we get a lot of, shout out to Blog Melanin Milk. She actually bought me, like, dominatrix lingerie Ooh. For my Atlanta show. We have dope-ass followers. But I guess, again, before we sign off, where can our listeners maybe reach out to you, or where can they get further information on PrEP and HIV, if you can go ahead and drop that?
Okay, so you guys can follow our page for anything PrEP, HIV related. It's called @SippinAndSpillin, so SIPPIN.
Definitely one of us got to go.
A-N-D.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
And then Spillin, SPILLIN, so no G's. And then my personal Instagram is J-Era, so JAY_ERAHH.
My Instagram is @MOMO_Bologna, BOLOGNA.
You can't spell bologna, bitch.
Bologna. That's
I mean, it's like the Oscar Mayer Wiener song. We all knew that, right?
Did we?
Oh, spell it in BOLOGNA. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Girl,
just
say Bologna.
Bologna. And again, we want to go ahead and shout out to everyone who's coming to see us on tour. 420.
We are.
We're in Houston. 223. We're going to be Atlanta. What?
Everybody in Texas is writing me like, we.
Oh, it's 420. They all ready to get us fucking high,
bro.
By the way, for all of y'all that... I do just want to say this. So Atlanta was not a show that we added a show to, nor did we switch anything around. So unfortunately, we are not giving you refunds because you want to go see B2K, bitch. We going to come out to B2K for that ass, okay? We going to sit here and give y'all that. So for those that are just saying, I can't make it anymore, I'm sorry. Just wanted to throw that out there. It was in the fine print. We're not accepting refunds. But I just wanted to throw that out there.
Relax, bitch.
Well, I'm just saying. Also,
by the way, we have like $30 to $5 tickets ranging from $35 to $50, and V2K is like
$200. Like
$200.
Yeah. Like,
what?
I saw $125. I saw people see, but they paid like $600.
I saw it had a promo code.
Yeah, the pre-sale.
So we talking about regular people who just buy shit. We not waiting on the computer for V2K. They ain't Beyonce.
I got a ticket, and only one I got for free. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna bring scissors to the show. I'm gonna buy the ticket. Bitch, that shit was $380, and I was like, guess what? I'm only one call away, bitch. Call me.
No, like even so, they're having at the Hulu theater here.
But by the way.
We're looking to be doing our New York show the same day as the B2K concert.
But it will be 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
It'll be 4 to 6.
And it's very close to the venue, so you guys can do both.
We're gonna walk.
It'll be a pregame.
That's my birthday weekend.
We're looking forward to seeing y'all on tour. If you're in Toronto, y'all, we did push that back to May 18th. And we are still working on Miami and LA venues. So
we are sorry for the change, but unfortunately, with we work out of theaters, and so if like someone books the week, it's very difficult with us to get one day on the weekend, and they but I do want to shout out to our Patreon listeners. So everyone that's heard this next episode, sorry, but for the rest of you motherfuckers, you'll have a small clip. Enjoy this. Also, if you think that the episode you just listened to was great, thank you. If you think you could have done something better to help out with it, call us at the $15 tier on Patreon. After 4 months, we send out merch as well as call listeners for outline feedback and for help. You can pretty much produce an episode with us. Oh. $5 a month, you get 3 bonus episodes per month. That's going to come out every Monday right after the show. So if you want some more, go on Patreon and you'll have a new episode waiting for you right now.
Holla, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye.
Last person I dated who was black before my current girlfriend Isis, she had dated other Asians previously. Cause
so this is a thing. I think it just happens
to be whatever is available. Because in the Bay Area, I think maybe there's just a surplus of Asian dudes.
There's a lot of Asian dudes and a whole lot of black women.
I don't know if there's a whole lot of black women.
Oh, there is, because the Bay Area is asking us to come, and they all black.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah, the Bay Area
I haven't seen many
you
black
guys
women.
Met in Cali?
Yeah.
So you moved here together. How long have you been together?
2 years.
Wow,
2 years and y'all moved cross-country together?
Now, let me ask. Wow. You made some jokes that I thought were great about your parents asking, or I don't know if it was true, but the color of the skin.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Right? How dark, things like that.
Yeah, colorism is a big thing.
And you talk about that a little bit.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Dating a black woman and if they were like, how black?
Yeah. No, that's legit. My mom did ask, how black is your girlfriend? And I had to show her a picture of Isis. And then she said, oh my God, that's too black.
She said that. So let me ask you real quick, because we're getting into this.
Yes.
What was your response? Clearly you've heard this because he done said this on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your response to that?
Well, I was expecting it anyway, so I was prepared for it. We talked about this, like, I think on our like first date.
We already got this.
We're gonna have to get into the parent thing, the friend thing, what you guys think. That's gonna be our horrible decision, guys, if you guys haven't pointed yet. But we're gonna go ahead and jump into Vanilla Shit. We're gonna kind of make it a little couple
Isis,
conversation.
If you've never heard from our show, Vanilla Shit is basically where we find an article or pick something that's going on in the news, current event related to sex.
Yes. And so as y'all know, and actually Weezy was like, we kind of got to talk about this. And I don't know how late we're going to be when this fucking post. But as y'all know, our queen, well, I guess she's not really our queen.
Excuse me, Beyonce?
I like her, not Beyonce, bitch, my bad. Okay, our princess. Cardi B broke up with
Offset.
Off the Knob. And so they're no longer together.
Did you guys see her post that video? Now, someone said, oh, wow, she's topless and doing a customer service voice.
So, basically, we not together. And, you know, we tried to make it work. But, yeah, like, I love when ratchet people do that.
Try to sound not,
it's the best.
Not,
I called T-Bone the other day screaming. She was like, well, ma'am, I'm going to really try to get this together for you. So, I just hope that you relax.
You know she was black. Damn, I might have to switch to T-Mobile. The Indians pick up when I call for mine.
I can't stand calling them. Well, the thing is, like, most customers.
Hello, I am Ashley. No, you're not.
A lot of them are Filipino, though. Filipinos
got good English, bitch.
They do, but you can also hear when it's like a Filipino trying to do, you know, your thank you, ma'am, for calling right. American You're Express.
Right. You're right, bitch. You're right. I mean, we sound terrible. Y'all go, all the Asians about to unfollow us. We're not going to be your friends no more. anyway, so I wanted to talk about, because we haven't had a couple in a while. I don't think we've had a couple maybe since the Swinger episode. Before we get into these questions regarding the breakups and, you know, maybe the last straw, are you guys monogamous?
Yes.
Yes.
You guys are monogamous. Oh, so this is going to be fun as fuck.
Okay, well, are you monogamish? Would you cheat together like a threesome?
No, I would we're not. Pretty regular. Yeah,
so I love it. She was like, no. That was the loudest I ever got.
Don't bring this shit up, ho. Don't talk about it.
You know, y'all got the whole show.
You got to break them up. You got to move back cross country.